Hey, everybody, just a quick word before we get started with this week's episode. What better gift to get the Air Raid fan in your life but two t-shirts and a poster from the Air Raid podcast? That's right. Go to air-raid.net, follow the instructions on the merch tab, and purchase a couple for your lover or your friend. It's a great gift. Also, you can donate to the show, $5, $10, whatever, $100, $100 million, to help us out, get some more equipment that we need here in Dining Room Studios. All right, happy holidays, everybody. Enjoy. Well, hello and welcome, everyone.
Right? Crank up the heat!
Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast.
Yes, it is true.
This is episode 125.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
In what is now officially considered a long and drawn-out series.
It's going to hurt a lot of it.
I am your host, Aaron Roden.
He's been known to cure narcolepsy just by walking into a room.
And this, of course, is the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your ear holes. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome new, welcome old. We've got a great, fantastic show planned for you this week. The band Fly Moon Royalty will be joining me here shortly here in Dining Room Studios. We're gonna talk with them about how they met, about their music, and all sorts of good stuff. So I think you're gonna really enjoy it. I had a great time talking with them. Both just a couple of sweethearts, Audra Boo and Mike. Yeah, great people. Great people. Well, okay, folks, Thanksgiving is over, and Christmas is now in full swing. I don't know about you guys, but I've already got one present out of the way. And my family... This year, well, pretty much every year, we decide that we're not going to get each other presents, like extended family, right? Or my parents, my brother, cousins, aunts and uncles. We're all like, okay, let's come to a consensus. We're not going to get each other presents this year, so don't worry about it, right? I don't know. Do you guys do that? You can send me an email, aaron@air-raid.net. Let me know how your holiday festivities all work out. But if it's anything like my family, we all say that we're not going to do anything for anybody because it just, you know, we enjoy each other's company and eating and drinking and just being there together and playing poker, playing the big poker game. So that's enough for us, right? But it never works out that way. Somebody always messes up and gets presents for everybody, or a couple people do. Because they just feel guilty, or they just figure that somebody else is going to do it, so they don't want to be the odd person out, right? And usually, my wife and I, we're always the odd people out on that one. Like, we adhere to the rule when it is spoken, and we don't get any presents for anybody. Maybe just a little picture or something like that of our daughter to spread around. But that's about it. And every year... Without fail, we are the jerks that don't have presents for anybody else, except for maybe a picture with a magnet, you know, a magnet picture. It's ridiculous. So this year, I explicitly told everybody once that came out that nobody was going to get anybody any presents. I said, okay, look, you know, I realize you're probably going to all want to get presents for my daughter. That's great. Just don't get anything for us because we're not going to get anything for you guys, and we don't want to feel like the jerks this year. So I think I got that out of the way at Thanksgiving. Hopefully we adhere to that, but I'll keep you guys posted on that one. I'll definitely keep you guys posted. We went out today. We got the Christmas stuff. We got the Christmas tree. Got a nice tree this year. Maybe we should go early. I mean, this is early for me, right? I mean, I think most people kind of go out right after Thanksgiving and they start getting their stuff together. But I definitely early for me this year, getting the tree. But I'll tell you what, when you go, like the weekend after Thanksgiving, to go and get your Christmas tree, you know, little piece of nature that you bring inside. You definitely have a better selection. You know, some of you are probably rolling your eyes. That's common sense, right? Well, not for me. Not for me. Come on. I'm not your common man, I guess. But yeah, we got a nice tree. Got some of the, you know, got the Santa photos done today for the kiddo. And she just freaked out. She totally freaked out. See, last year I thought she was going to freak out last year, but she was great last year. She was all smiles. Of course, she wasn't, you know, she was 1 year old last year. But yeah. And now she just freaked out, just totally freaked out. So, and I guess that's kind of like a rite of passage, right? That's a rite of passage for a child. I mean, we've all got Santa pictures from the past that you can go, you know, that your parents break out every Christmas, and you can look through those. And yeah, I mean, I've got several where I was just bawling my eyes out. Yeah, so it's just kind of a rite of passage. But I did feel we both felt pretty guilty. Like we were standing there, we were kind of laughing, you know, and we were like trying to make her smile, holding things up in the air and stuff. And there's all these other parents standing around, and we're all just kind of laughing at it, right? Just totally sadistic. Just totally sadistic. Just a weird, kind of a weird thing. Like I was standing there, and I was laughing, and I was looking back at this other mom who was kind of chuckling and stuff, and she was like, "Oh, I remember those days," and we were just kind of having a good laugh together. And then it hit me right there. I was like, "I'm laughing at my daughter's complete and utter, like, just, you know, she has no idea what's going on." She's like, for all she knows, she's sitting on the lap of a pedophile, which could be, I mean, could be the case, even though she doesn't know what a pedophile is. Maybe mass murderer. She probably doesn't know what that is either. But anyway, I mean, she doesn't know this guy. She doesn't even know who Santa is yet. She's only 19 months old, you know? And here I am just laughing at my daughter's pain and you know, her total fear of being on a stranger's lap. Does that make me a bad parent? God dang, man. I don't know. I felt bad. That's for sure. That is for sure. Hey, before we get to this interview with Fly Moon Royalty, Audra Boo, the singer, and Mike, the beat maker, we're going to get down on one knee again and ask you guys to support the Air Raid podcast by going over to iTunes, even though you don't have an iTunes account. Yeah, let's say you don't even have an iTunes account. Just get on there, create an account real quick, and rate and review the show. It would really help us out. We're almost to 100 star ratings on there. I don't know how many reviews we've got, but we've got two more to go to reach 100. So, you know, make an account and go over there and give us a rating. Tell us how we're doing on this, you know, because that feedback really does come in handy. We're always up for a little, constructive criticism here at the Air Raid podcast, because we just want to keep on making it better for you guys, the listener. So you can do that. And also, to support us, we do need some new equipment here in Dining Room Studios. So we urge you guys to go and buy a t-shirt or just donate. Just donate. $5, $10. You know, anything helps, guys. So you can go to our website, www.air-raid.net. And the donate button is this handy little button there up on the left-hand corner underneath the logo. And you can press that, or you can go to the merch tab there and order a couple t-shirts and a poster. We'll sign the poster for you and send it on its way. So yeah, we appreciate the people who have bought that stuff, who have donated to the show, but we still need some more help to get some new equipment. I don't know if you've noticed, but you might notice it in this episode. I'm not going to go into this. Why would I even go into this? This is just too inside baseball. But I apologize if there are audio issues in this episode. Like I said, things are kind of breaking down a little bit. And we need more capacity for better microphones and a better mixing board. So that's the issue. That's the issue here, guys. And you may hear it, you may not. It's not that bad. I'm making it sound like it's a lot worse than it is. It's not that bad. So anyway, yeah, go to iTunes, rate and review the show. Helps us out, dudes, dudettes. Thanks for listening. And this is, let's see, we're going to go to our first musical break here. The song is called Lemonade by the band Fly Moon Royalty. And when we return, we will be talking with said band about their life, how they got together, how it is having kids in a band. And, you know, these guys are definitely doing a lot of good things here in Seattle right now, getting a lot of airplay. So it was fun kind of talking with them and hearing about that experience. So, yeah, I think you guys are really going to enjoy this. Great, great band. Saw them live a couple weeks ago. It was fantastic. It was fantastic. All right, here we go. Lemonade, Fly Moon Royalty. We'll be right back with more of the Air Raid Podcast for your ears. Stay with us. Drama set to make it juicy. Amongst the goodies, just from my stand. I know you got a couple dollars in your Gucci. It's everything you need and more. It's nothing that you've offered up. Sometimes it only gives what it wants, and you can choose to use the good stuff. A roller coaster ride to the deep end, but it knows that you can't swim. Whenever life throws you lemons, it's what you choose to do. Welcome back, everybody. Joining me here in Dining Room Studios, high atop the Greenwood neighborhood here in North Seattle, is that band you just heard, Fly Moon Royalty. And can we say your real names? Is that... You already told me no.
No. No dropping of the real name.
Audra Boo and Action Jackson.
You can call me Mike, too.
Can I just call you Mike?
That's fine.
Okay. You don't worry about it. Nobody's going to say you're...
No, I don't have any...
You're a baby daddy or something?
No daddies out there trying to claim my fame.
Well, welcome, guys. Thank you so much for coming on the show. So I went to this show a couple weekends ago?
Yeah, a few weeks. Yeah.
Yeah. And I hadn't really heard too much of your guys' stuff, and so went up there, you know, just to kind of check you guys out, because I knew the guy that was putting on the show, so I was going to get him for free. That's how.
Which
I
one, RC or
that's
Steven.
A good reason to go to a
Steven.
Show.
Yeah. Steven. Yeah. 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 That's isn't that a good reason?
Yeah, I do that a lot.
you know somebody, so yeah,
I'll check it
yeah,
out.
Totally, totally. But I gotta say, I was blown away. I really enjoyed the shit out of it.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, it was fantastic, and I was a little surprised that it was just two of you, because you know the stuff that you guys have recorded, like that song Lemonade that we just listened to. I mean, when you think of like a soul singer band like that, you don't necessarily think of just like one guy doing keys and mixes, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, is that something kind of different?
I guess. Yeah. I mean, when you say it, yeah, I guess it is. I don't think about it as much, but
yeah,
we still approach it. I mean, I'm a producer first and foremost. So we just started making, you know, I'd write songs and Audra would sing, and our formula seemed really, nothing out of the ordinary.
Yeah.
But then I guess when you think about it, if you don't really know, you just hear the music. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's really good. And it's full, right? Because whenever I think of like somebody who's just, you know, putting beats down or doing mixes, I usually think of like electronic music.
Yeah.
You know? And sometimes it doesn't sound as full like that, and especially in a live setting. And so that's one of the reasons.
That's been a work in progress too, is learning how to take apart the songs.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
We can translate certain elements live. It's kind of that in between, because like, I mean, I love hip hop and I like the formula of hip hop, but sometimes it can fall short live. So we're taking elements of the high, you know, energy of a hip hop show, adding some of the live, you know, a little bit of live instrumentation, singers, multiple singers. Sometimes we even have dancers too.
Really?
Yeah. We played, when we played Sasquatch this year, we had five dancers choreographed dance routines for like four or five of our songs.
Nice, nice. What stage did you guys play at Sasquatch?
We were on that, there was like Northwest hip hop stage. They called it the main.
Oh,
as the
right.
Stage.
Quote, unquote, yeah, yeah, main. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was so weird and so confusing.
Yeah. Like no one really thought this through. Like, hey guys. Yeah.
Yeah. We were the main stage in front of the main stage.
It was great though.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah. Did you guys have a good time there?
Heck yeah. That was good.
I had a pretty good time at that thing. I think I actually saw you guys get dragged into the press cabin.
Oh yeah. That was a long day.
Yeah. That was intense.
We had like five interviews right when we got off stage.
Right. Right.
Yeah. I was good. I'm glad when that was open.
Yeah. What's that experience like? Because I was one of the guys like grabbing people for interviews in that thing. And I felt like it just made me feel kind of sleazy.
Well, I mean, you got to do what you got to do. It's just the same thing. We like circulate through the room, sitting next to somebody answering the same questions, and then shuffle two chairs down and say the same thing.
Right, right.
I want to be like, can we all just say it once and everyone get?
Can everybody just crowd around and stick your mics out and just
do like a press conference instead of like?
Yeah, but the cool part was, well, we already knew that we had three inside the little press box.
Uh-huh.
The other two were like super like boom on the spot, but there was one outside, and that one I actually liked better. I think because it was the last one, and then we were gonna eat.
Yeah,
but it was outside, so it just felt a little different. And I think those questions were just slightly different, or we were just outside. It was just different. We weren't in the box, like in the box.
Right, right.
And you could hear what's going on outside. It was still intense, though. Like afterwards, I had a moment to myself, and I was like,
"Well, and it's beautiful there, right?" Deep. So we just it was a great show. You know, it was a tremendous show. Beautiful landscape. You know, we do all these interviews, you know, instead of all the excitement, and nothing really catches up to you till you stop, and then you're like, wow. And then we get to enjoy the rest of the
festival.
Yeah,
we just did that. Yeah. Did you guys stay for the whole weekend?
We stayed for that we left the next day, didn't we? Some of the dancers
left
that day. We left the next day, which was Monday.
Yeah.
Because we always have to end up coming back for work or whatnot.
Right, right, yeah. I ended up getting real sick.
Yeah.
At that thing. And I think it was all the dust.
Yeah.
It was so dusty there. And I was just like, it permeated every orifice of my being. Like, it was terrible. It was terrible.
That's pretty gross.
Yeah, it was, right?
Dust in your business.
Yeah, yeah. It was everywhere, man.
I just think of Rosie Perez. You are like wet sand in my underwear. That's the only thing I think.
You got a lot of. Do you have a lot? Do you have more Rosie Perez quotes? No,
that was our back burner, because my Rosie Perez is usually a more on point. That was. I shouldn't have done that without preparing.
So let's switch gears here a little bit. I talked with you guys up in Everett about how you guys met, and I thought that was a pretty interesting story. How you just kind of ended up working together, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Where was that again?
That's Mel's Market. It's downtown Seattle. And
okay.
Yeah, it's a little restaurant, deli, place that we work. I was 5 months and new to Seattle.
Mm-hmm. Where'd you come from?
Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of I didn't want to get back into working in the restaurant industry again, but, you know, it was difficult finding solid work. So
yeah, yeah.
I took the job there, and then I like pointing that out because, you know, it was a blessing in disguise, but the first day, you know, they do the meet and greet. Audra was part of the Mel's, it was reopening because it mm-hmm. had been in downtown Seattle since the 80s, so it had closed down and then it reopened, so she was part of the staff that came back. I was part three new people. So it was like everyone introducing and, you know, what do you do? Da, da, da. I moved here with a friend of mine and we were in a hip hop group.
Uh-huh.
And so I was told, you know, I mentioned that and then she's like, okay, it's your producer. And then we just started chopping it up. We exchanged music. I gave her my band CDs and then she was in a group called Luxury AK. If you want to take it away, Alley Oop.
I was like, tell it. Sit apart. Okay. So, we'll go back and then we'll go forward.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, Mel's had closed. I had been working there off and on since like 2004.
Mm-hmm.
And so.
And are you originally from Seattle?
I am.
Yeah?
I am. I'm from Seattle. Born and raised, not a Seattleite, but from Seattle.
What do you mean by that?
I'm not raised in the Seattle kind of way.
You're going to insult people by this. Just
No.
I want to hear this.
No. I'm not against people who are Seattleites. I just wasn't raised in a family that would make you think off bat I was from Seattle.
Okay.
My family's from the South.
Okay.
And we were raised as such. But we were raised up here.
What neighborhood?
Oh, man. Central District, Columbia City.
Moved all around.
Yeah. Mount Baker, Skyway.
Yeah.
And now I'm back in Rainier Beach.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
Like the area down there?
Yeah. Rainier Beach is cool.
I love Rainier Beach.
Give it a bad rep. People who live in Rainier Beach have not helped it get a better rep, but I like it. It's like, because I'm someone's mom, I'm a parent, and it's like uh-huh. there's parks and schools and like, you know.
Yeah.
Everywhere you go, there's going to be some kind of
how
issue.
How many kids do you have?
Two.
Two?
12 and 9.
My God. My daughter is 19 months old.
Oh yeah. See, they're good up until they're like 4. Like people are like terrible twos, blah blah blah. No. 4.
It's getting hard, right now. I mean, part of it is because I'm extremely lazy. So like that can that can make things difficult if you just want to lay on the couch.
Is she moving around? And walking, full on walking?
Running.
Well, okay, yeah, that can mess you up if you're on a couch, but. I mean, you know, it's probably better because your dad, like when you're mom and you have like makeup and like sparkly stuff that can break, you know, like things of that nature, uh-huh. you know, I'm like now she's 12. She'll be 13 in January.
Yeah.
She's like 5'9", 5'10". So she kind of looks 16.
Dang.
And that's the problem right now. but, you know, she's a good kid. She's a good kid. And, you know, my son's great. He's like 9.
Yeah.
And he's like, psh, whatever. He's like, video games, cars. But he likes asking Mike him and Mike get into some interesting conversations, though.
Yeah, yeah.
So those two.
When he's not beating me in Mario Kart and talking trash.
Well, yeah. Yeah, he's a smack talker.
Yeah.
So have you are you, have you instilled a good like music ethic on them at all? Have you tried that?
I think. Well, like, we listen to so much different music.
Yeah, yeah.
And that, like, they're used to that. You know, they're kids, and they're still on the radio. Like, they stay with their dad and their stepmom so that I can pursue music. Mm-hmm. So when they come over, like, they know about all the, like, radio stuff, this One Direction. I don't know. You know, I'm still like, Omarion? What? Like, I don't be on the radio so much. Like, yeah, yeah. The Kiss 106. Yeah. Nothing right, against right. it. But that's, you know, I'm like... I'm so into old music. Like, that's where I just find my Jesus.
Yeah.
But, you know, she knows about all the new stuff, her and my son. So uh-huh. they kind of, like, keep me up on who's who. But we just listen to all kinds of everything. And that, you know, they love that. Like, my son yeah. and I, like, we geek off of, like, you know, videos from, like, Australia. Like, a lot of Gaultier and things of that vein.
Uh-huh.
So it's, like, in that, yes, they're getting, like, super cultured on music. And,
well, that's you know. Good. Like, I worry about that myself, though, with my daughter. Like, you know, how... Because you don't want to push too hard, right?
Right.
Especially, you know, I mean, it's not that big of a deal, a thing like music, trying to instill good taste on your children. But, you know, it's
well,
not like
I,
trying
I
to keep them out of a gang or something.
Well,
you know,
I mean... I would say it depends on where you come from, but
yeah,
I mean,
but
like
if you like push me, if you're going to push something, kids are naturally going to like, you know, want the opposite.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like let them find their own
right?
way.
Yeah.
If you just like, if they have access to listening to better music,
yeah.
meaning it's there and as a byproduct, like in their world, they'll find it. If you push something on them, it's like, they'll reject it eventually.
Right.
They'll go
right.
through that age where they'll be like, yeah. I want nothing to do with this, because it reminds me of, you know, yeah. they got to find their own music. It's got to be somebody's personal experience. Like,
yeah, totally.
So they have to know that they got it and someone didn't force it on them.
Yeah. Right, and right. at our house, like we're just loose. We just in the way that I was raised, we listen to music because it's there.
Mm-hmm,
it wasn't
mm-hmm.
like,
it's just constantly,
like, here's this.
Constantly kind of going.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, you know, when I was
it's
a kid, it's like my mom sang. All my uncles were in a band. So it was like the music was there. No
yeah,
one
yeah.
was pushing it because they were just performing and trying to, you know, try to do their thing. My uncles had lots of vinyl. And so it's like I would just kind of be creeping through their stuff. I would just, you know, if you know, when your uncle's not home and he's cool, you kind of want to know what's happening. So like I just go through all their record stuff and just like start playing, you know, records and this and that. And
yeah,
so,
yeah.
you know, I just grew up probably with music that I was way too young to be exposed to, but made me a way more interesting person, though.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I think, so. You know, I mean, I feel like I've got good taste, you know? I like you guys.
Yeah, you right? must have good taste.
But I will say that I think one of my first, actually my first cassette, I think the first cassette I ever got was Martika. You guys remember Martika?
Vaguely.
She did this song like called like Toy Soldiers, and then she did I don't know. She was like one of those mall like singers.
Oh,
you
man,
know, like
that
Debbie
Toy
Gibson
Soldier song.
And stuff.
Okay.
You
yeah.
remember Toy Soldiers, right?
Yep. 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 Yeah.
I was like, that's her name.
Yeah. Martika.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I remember yeah. it was black and white. It was just black and white photo of her face. Gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous. Yeah. but do you guys have like being hip musicians, do you guys have something in your past like musically that you're embarrassed about?
What, as far as
like
things we used to like?
I'm guessing you were a huge New Kids on the Block fan.
No,
right?
No.
No?
Because during their heyday, those were most of the middle school girls you'd make fun of. So there, no way, you would never. And I wasn't like a closet New Kids on the Block fan. I just wasn't a
yeah.
fan of New Kids on the Block.
See, I always thought that would have like permeated everybody in my age group.
Well, yeah, I mean,
but it turns out it did not.
Yeah,
I was one of the stupid kids.
Well, I mean, we were knee deep in it. I mean, being that age when
yeah, yeah.
they do it now, it's like they shovel that music like pounded down
right
that
right.
age demographic down their throat.
Well, it's like this band One Direction that because I just became aware of this. Like I'm flipping through this like Toys R Us the big. Christmas book, you know, to get ideas
yeah.
what to get my child for Christmas, and they've got like all the dolls now.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Like they had that back then too, In the 80s with New Kids on the Block and all those.
Yeah,
those
I had a Jordan, actually.
Did you?
Yeah.
Were you into New Kids on the Block?
Yeah, I'm a girl. I'm a girl. Jordan was fly, man. I had all them, like, it's funny because I just made a joke to Mike about all the, like, being in the Teeny Bopper magazines.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I was like, I've always been a fan of music and, like, cute people. So New Kids on the Block had an easy win there. Like,
yeah. They had both things.
That wasn't an accident. That was manufactured.
Oh, man. I was in it, too. I was like, yes. You know, like, man, dude. I did have, like, the Spice Girls phase, too.
Did you really?
I did. I had, like, the big hair and everything. Like, I was all about Scary Spice. And
so was I, though.
I had every
record.
Yeah,
I was definitely about Scary Spice. She was probably the best.
Yeah.
She was the best one.
By far.
Yeah.
By far the best.
Yeah. Definitely.
But I was into, like, all that, and I had a Backstreet Boys phase, too. I did have every single Backstreet Boys early, like, album.
Now, is this how old are you guys?
I'm 33.
33? I'm almost 33.
Yeah? All right, so we're all the same age here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it did, that kind of culture kind of permeates everything, right?
Yeah.
At that age.
Yeah.
You're impressionable.
I blame Blossom. I'm going to blame it on 6, actually.
Whoa. Yeah.
I'm going to blame it on 6. 6 and Joey kind of messed up things for me. And Slap Bracelets.
Slap Bracelets.
I'm going to blame it on that.
There was a lot
because
of...
Because 6 wore them.
Jelly Bracelets?
No, Jelly Sandals, but that's another topic.
What was Jelly Bracelets?
But they were just the... It was the same...
Those, like, super plasticky. They actually still sell
those. They'd have a range of colors, and girls would have them, like, up their entire arm.
Oh,
I had
right.
a sister, so.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Jesus. That's crazy.
I had rings that matched mine, but I didn't wear them up my whole arm. That was weird.
So do you guys, being, this is always something that I find kind of interesting. Like, do you guys, are you pretty open with music now? As you've gotten older, because like I went through a phase definitely in the 90s, especially being, you know, living around this town, you know, in the 90s, you could not like anything other than alternative rock.
Yeah.
Right. Like anything else was bullshit. Right. And it still is to a certain extent, like, you know, if you're not into like some certain kind of weird indie music, then you're considered in some circles to be, you know, a moron.
Oh, absolutely. You know? There's definitely like a pretentious, like,
yeah,
like, you know, tinge of like attitude towards music in general. Like you can't, sometimes you just can't. I actually agree with that quite a bit, especially with certain types of hip hop that struggle here.
Yeah.
Or other types of hip hop will do really well. And then, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. It says a lot about the, area that you're in.
Right. Yeah. But do you guys find it easier now that you're in your 30s to like just be like, yeah, that's
embrace
a jam.
More open music.
Yeah,
or,
yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Like Katy Perry's got some jams, man.
Yeah, if the song's good, like yeah, even some like cheesy pop song, if it's good,
mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, I don't spend the time to hate it. You know, it's like when you're younger and you're just like, "Ugh, I'm not going to like that cuz it's pop or some shit." But
Yeah,
if it's good, it's good. I mean, I may not actually play it, but uh-huh. I'll acknowledge if it's a good song.
Will you look at some of that stuff for, like, samples?
Nah. I definitely don't do that. The goal, ultimately, is, since I still do come from the old world of sample production.
Yeah, yeah.
Are
you making all your own stuff? Is it all?
It's a mixed bag. Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes it'll take really tiny, like, I just had one song we're working on for the new album, and there is a guitar part sort of on it, but I've diced it so finely that I don't even think the artists themselves would identify their own piece of music. Like, it's bits and pieces. And
Right.
The engineer that was mixing it, he was just like, he's like, "That's a sample?" I'm like, "Yeah." And so just the way I cut it up, it would be really hard to identify. I mean, and I don't do that for the purpose of, you know, not getting hit for sample clearance or things like that.
Right.
I still like to be able to take the characteristics of a sample, not just taking like 4-bar loop and just hitting it and saying like, "Boom, what's up? This is a track I produced." But
yeah.
I like taking elements of like past recordings, older recordings, a lot of times more because they come say I sample some soul track that was recorded in the Motown in like 76.
Yeah.
That was recorded with certain types of microphones, certain types of amps, all these little byproducts that happen in the recording that, you know, happy little accidents, little guitar lick slips in there.
Yeah, yeah.
So all those little ingredients are, you know, they're kind of cooked in the pot that, you know, nowadays everything's recorded so clean and too, like, sometimes it lacks some of those little
right. Flavors. Well, everything you're kind of referring to, like, back in the day, everything was like tube and analog.
Yeah. Well, there right? was, yeah, there's a sound, but then there's also just a byproduct of, like, when they were recording it back then, the squeak from the kick drum pedal.
Right, yeah.
Was just like a thing that was in there. These little cracks and pops, almost like adding vinyl static onto a track in a way, mm-hmm. but doing it in like just fun little creative ways of, but you know, say I throw a little sample in there and then I add in other, like a synth track or like some gritty, like lo-fi synth sound with a smoothed out like blues sample. The yeah. contrast of those two things never existed before. So I get to see how they actually lay together, these two, like, you know, different elements that
yeah.
actually
yeah.
in my ear, in my mind, I think they would conflict too much, but then you put them together and you're like, that's kind of us. You
yeah,
know,
yeah.
Like that's
yeah. So this has always interested me too, like with the type of music that you are talking about is like how long on average are you putting into a typical song? Like to put everything, all this stuff together, like are you just constantly hearing stuff that like, and this is a question for you too. Like, are you just constantly hearing things that you're like, oh, that'd be a good sample.
I do like, that at work a lot.
Yeah.
I work in the kitchen. So I'm like playing music all the mm-hmm, time. And mm-hmm. I have, if you saw my house, I look like a madman with all the papers and shit. Around
You're a hoarder. Me. You're a hoarder.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
But it's like,
you're going to be on a TV show.
Yeah, it's not that bad, but I am.
It's more like little like stacks and pieces of paper,
ripped up lyrics, ideas that I have like, on, and I have a red pen at work. I always use so like yeah. it's red ink on like little scrap corners of paper and ideas or samples or I'm like, oh, I should do this, put this through here,
yeah.
like
just like remembering,
yeah.
Like,
just
it's
like
that stuff. Scene in the Jacksons movie where like they're trying to write that song and they're like picking up every piece of paper off the floor. It's like there's lyrics on it. And they make a whole song.
I never saw that.
Did you gotta see it? It's the same thing. Like, I've watched this happen. Like he just picks up something. It's just like, oh yeah, 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 and this, and then, like it's yeah. like watching that. It's like magic. It's like he's like a magician.
But it looks like pure madness when you look at like my creative space.
Right, right.
Right now I'll go home and all my stuff's still on. So I just like at the moment when I'm like, okay, I want to pull that up or. So
you're like the beautiful mind. You're like Russell Crowe of music.
Hopefully, I'm not that like. You know, there is a little bit of like OCD, a little yeah, bit yeah. of like there's plenty of personality disorder traits like rattling around in this process.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
I mean, a song could be, as a producer, sometimes the best beat you make could take 10 minutes and then you're mm-hmm. like, that's dope.
Yeah.
Cool thing now is like Audra and I, we just finished a new one and it kind of snapped together pretty quick. I was just sort of this funky 80s R&B thing and it's dope, but I just had this really simple loop that I wrote, like this bass line, kind of synthed out bassy thing. And Audra wrote some real straightforward, real simple lyrics. We just yeah. like laid it down super clean.
So do you just get like, you kind of come up with like, I don't know, a rough mix
yeah.
of what you're thinking of yeah. and then you send it to her or you guys meet in the studio and you just start singing over it? How does that work?
Well, like, yeah, there'll be some stuff that he'll send me definitely. Mm-hmm. And like every now and again, like we'll talk about like an idea behind where it came from or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes like I'll just hear something but like, what's that? And then I'm like, he'll play it and like we'll kind of nerd out for a little bit and I'll just start writing down some things.
Mm-hmm.
Or like I'll just write something, he'll be like, oh, I got this, and like we just make sandwiches,
like a song,
make musical sandwiches,
we make PB&J.
yeah.
There's like, a there's a piece of me was like that. I had a bass line, this it's not out yet, but we play it. If you see us live, 99% chance we'll
did
play
you guys
it.
Play it up at,
we
at
yeah.
Everett. Oh
yeah.
Okay.
So it's got cool. this like funky like clave like bass line thing going on.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
I was just something I was toying around with. I didn't have anything else besides that and a couple like variations to that for the whole song. And
nice.
Then I was playing it, and then Audra had she came in to record a song, had it all written, and she sat down and was like warming up, and then she's just like, I don't like it. She's just sitting like she it just wasn't. But
just
she had,
it just didn't fit like
it was for a different track. She had a beat. It was totally okay. different thing. We were
way different.
Had nothing to do with this bass line that I had wrote, but I was something I was noodling.
Yeah.
And she wasn't, you know, and we're luckily we're like on the same page most of the time with things like that.
Uh-huh.
She was just like, and I was kind of felt the same way. And then, but she had a whole written song right there.
Yeah.
So I pulled that up and I just started playing it. And then I have with all my sessions, it's kind of like a sketch pad where I've started ideas or concepts, some very rough, some more, developed.
Right.
So I have like just drum loops and stuff that I've like made. And so I'll just play over top of them. So I started going through them and I was like, maybe this one. And I kicked one on and then I just started playing it. And then she's like, she just sits back there quietly. She's like singing in her ear, in her own ear. Like, and she's like, hold on, go back to that one again. And then, I just started playing it. And then she just took that same song, which was super slow, somber tone. Flipped it on this whole different thing. Same lyrics. Flipped it the whole damn song, and it was just a super upbeat, like, really, it's like night and day.
Yeah.
The great part was that it, like, the feeling didn't change. It was just, like, it just found a better home.
Yeah.
And, like,
well, I like that.
We have a couple like that.
Yeah, I like that. It sounds like you guys work really well together. Like, you've got very similar tastes in music, and your styles come together real well.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, that's it. Because, you know, sometimes you don't hear about that. And, like, usually, like, the singer is very kind of disconnected from the rest of the process, things like that. And, that's
now, it's a very group collaborative sort of thing.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it's interesting that you say that because, like, earlier you were talking about how, like, you know, when you think of soul singers, there's a band.
Yeah. Totally.
And, like, and I was, in my mind, I was like, man, like, there's a lot of, at least for me, like, I grew up in such a, like, R&B love of things. And so, like, you know, there's artists, and then there's, like, you know, people who got, you know, studio space. And then you got, like, Mint Condition, who was, like, a whole band, and, like, everyone's on point all the time. And it's, like, you know, I like sounds, and I like to, like, hear something, you know, specific. So I feel like, for me at least, it makes me feel like a different kind of singer. Because I just feel more invested in, like, what's happening. Like, people are always like, oh, yeah, let me send you some beats. Or, like, you know, like, Michael send me stuff and I have time to, like, sit with it. Like, how do I feel about it? Like, you know, I have time. I don't feel pressured. And it's like, you know, he'll send me so much stuff. If I don't like this one thing, you know, it's like I go with what I feel. And so I don't feel like, you know, most soul singers. I really don't sound like most soul singers either. So maybe I just feel different altogether.
Well, I was listening to some of your guys' stuff today before you got here. And I was like, you know, this is totally meant as a compliment too. It was very reminiscent of Janelle Monáe.
Yeah, we've heard that.
Yeah. We get that,
and
a lot.
That is taken as a compliment. She's amazing.
She is amazing. Yeah. And like, I was like thinking about that today. I was like, you know, she's got a similar voice to Monáe. Yeah.
That's a hell of a compliment. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Because I'm, like, in my own ear.
I'm a really nice person, so.
Well, not everyone is nice, but but it's, like, we do get that. And yeah. I don't sound, like, typical anything. And that's, like, my favorite part about being in this group. Because I'm, like, I'm doing what I do, you know, with Mike. Like, we're doing what we do. We don't try to, like, emulate. Like, we, you know, we like what we like. We love what we love. But it's like, I'm not trying to, like, you know, be like, oh, I want to be Chaka Khan. Okay, actually, a little bit, yes.
Everybody wants to be Chaka Khan.
I'll take that back. Yes, I do want to be Chaka Khan. But I'm like, I know that I'm not at that level yet.
Yeah.
So it's like, I'm still critical on my own stuff. And
I am,
like,
every woman.
I'm not going to co-sign that, actually. because, you know, might be some single ladies listening. Yeah. And you know, hey, it's my guy. I don't know, like, I just like where we come from with music.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, and I never even know how to describe what we do. People have given us their version of what kind of music we make. And sometimes I just let people roll with it because it's easy. But I just like what we do, period. Like, you know.
Yeah, there's no point in really, like, other people want to categorize it, whatever, and that's fine. That's for them to communicate it.
Yeah, yeah.
When people ask us, I'm like, I don't think about that. I really have no idea. Like,
that's a really hard question, too.
It's an extremely hard question.
Like, especially if you don't play, like, straight ahead, like, folk music or straight ahead rock and roll or something like that. You know, it's a mix of things. It's like it gets into really, like, gray territory on how you try to describe yourself. And you always feel like a moron doing it.
You're like, there's 16 subs that are, like, one long hyphenated statement.
Goodness, yeah.
And it's because Audra and I, like, we prefer the... something that sounds different. I mean, ultimately, that our
ears
are
attractive. Here's what I like, because I'm looking at your Facebook page right now. It says alternative hip hop neo soul.
Sure.
Yeah. So let's hear some of that right now. Let's go to our second musical break. This song is called Back to You, and we'll be right back with more of the Air Raid Podcast for your ears. Stay with us. Fly Moon Royalty. Here we go. To Kauai a couple years ago for our honeymoon, and they still had, like, in this, like, kind of outdoor, like, strip mall kind of area, They still had these old flags from the 80s that just had Tom Selleck's face plastered on them from Magnum P.I.
Oh, man.
That's
like,
great.
Just all over, like, on every pillar.
Oh, that's
going
great.
Going around this mall. It was so funny. I think we took a couple pictures with him.
Yeah. Yeah. Tom Selleck. Yeah. I think that's just because I perv on old dudes, though.
He is one of the... He does pull off the mustache.
He can... Well, yeah. Him
and Sam Elliott...
Sam, oh yeah, totally, yeah. Totally. Well, he's and Sam Elliott's like the Marlboro man, you know.
Totally.
I mean,
totally.
He's always going to be that just kind of raspy, like.
Yeah, it works. It doesn't work for everybody.
Yeah,
it doesn't
yeah.
work for a lot of people. Let's just say that.
It doesn't work for me, that's for sure. This thing like grows in so spotty. It's,
same
it's
with
just
me.
Disgusting.
Yeah. Like if I just had a mustache, it would look extra creepy.
Well, welcome back, everybody. That was Back to You by Fly Moon Royalty, and joining me here still, they didn't leave yet, is the band. So welcome back to the show. When we left, we were kind of talking about your guys' process and how you put together a song, and we kind of left on a tangent a little bit, and I want to get back to how you guys kind of formed this whole thing.
Yes.
And
yes.
How music and where music like started for you guys in your lives. So first of all, let's finish kind of their origin story here for Fly
yes.
Moon Royalty.
Okay, so
you were working at this Mel's Market.
Working at Mel's.
Right.
Mel's closed. Another place bought it. I quit. I went out of town. I came back. The
Where'd
Mel's
you go?
Word.
Where'd you
I
go?
Went to Texas.
Why'd you go there?
Family reunion. Drove there with my family. Hot, 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 hot.
Yeah.
But before I left, there was like word kind of going around like the old Mel's employees, which word still traveled between us, that the Mel's was going to reopen.
Yeah.
The place that bought it was kind of going out of whatever. Just they were going to disappear.
Business.
Going out of business. Yes,
yeah, yeah.
That's the word.
Going tits up, as my mom used to say.
And so I knew about it, but so I got back. I needed a job. I really like Mike. I really did not want to go back.
Did you think he was cute? Did he have a mustache?
No. He kind of looked a little similar to what he looks like now.
Yeah, yeah.
A little similar.
So he's aging gracefully.
Yes. Hey, you know, I mean, it's kind of how we roll, you know. So we go to this meeting. Meanwhile, I'm in another group.
Uh-huh.
We have one song recorded.
What group was this?
Luxury AK. It's
okay.
Me and my girl, DJ LA Kendall. And like we had just, we were doing like DJ host gigs and stuff around town. And so we just, you know, we were like really trying to find music, you know, that we wasn't like just sneaking over. So I go to this work meeting. It's like there's some new people. There's this like old farts. And so we're all kind of, you know, sizing everyone up. And I'm like, I'm such a perv in life. And I'm like, hey, look at this guy. Like, look at this guy. Like, hey, this guy. Like, I've worked at Mills for a long time. I'm just
That's
gonna
like three guys there that you were scoping
no,
out.
No. Apparently. It was all about Mike, though. But this is me saying it to different people who work there. Like, there's like, you know,
yeah,
we got some ladies there. You know, they're a little older in age, but, you know, like, I was always the baby.
Yeah.
But I'm like, hey, you know, like, who's this dude, right? So then, like, the owner comes out, and he's like, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
Introduce yourself, new people. And so, you know, Mike starts talking, and I'm like, I'm peaked. I'm like, ha, okay.
Yeah.
And so he was like, I'm in
a
group.
New kids on the block thing going
no,
on.
No, right. It was a lot different. It was a lot different. but
I was hanging tough.
So, but basically, as soon as he said that he was a producer, it's like the wheels start turning. It's like,
oh, yeah.
Okay. Then that like separated. I was like, okay. So right afterwards, I think I asked him, was he in a hip hop group that's from here? Because I'm like, I'm not.
She asked me if I was one of the Mad Bag guys.
I only know one.
I was like,
at the
no.
time, at the time, I only knew one guy in Mad Rad.
Yeah, yeah.
And I didn't even know he was
a bunch
in
of
Mad
white
Rad.
Dudes with facial hair. And she's like, are you one of those guys? I was like,
well, no, I won't say it was that cut and dry, but okay, it sounds that way.
It was
so
just funny.
It's a bad description, but he was like, no. And so he was, you know, telling me about, like, you know, his thing with the group. And, mm-hmm. like, he had music right there. I had a laptop right there. So, like, instantly I was like, well, let's chop it up. And then once the place reopened, like, we were just, you know, kind of like, so music this, music that. And I was like, well, I sing, you know. And he's like, well, you got anything? So, like, I think I have, like, 5 songs on the planet that I was, mm-hmm. like, recorded on randomly. And he was like, well, you know, let's, you know, how about, like, you do some stuff for me, I'll do some stuff for you.
Yeah.
You sing for me, you know, and I'll help your group with the EP. And that's what happened. Like, totally, like, he would send me stuff with, like, an idea or, like, a title.
Yeah, yeah.
And I would just, like, come up with stuff. And then me and Kendall would go and record at his place. And, like, in the mix of that, like, he had beats online on Facebook at the time. Like, we could put your beats on.
Right, right.
And I'm like, so I can hear some of his stuff. And he has some dope stuff there. And there was one in particular that I just was like, I want this track. Mm-hmm. And at the time, it was, like, Droid Love. And it was filthy. It was ridiculously dope. And I asked him for it many times. He was like, no, it's for my group. Like, you know, we're trying to do some stuff with it. Like, nah, you know. And that's what it sounded like at first. Like, nah. And it was like, no.
I was like, it's not that.
He was like, no.
I mean, the style of music that they were making was in a different
what,
vein.
What was the group that you were with?
I was in a hip-hop group called Sex Panther.
Sex Panther?
Yeah. There was two of us.
I recognize that name.
There is a Sex Panther from Spokane, Washington. It's a girl punk group.
Okay, maybe that's
there's what also thinking. A girl punk group in Australia. I know this because of the MySpace days.
Yeah.
So we actually all, we like contact each other.
800 bands with the same name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, they were doing, Audra and Kendall were doing more like electro pop stuff. And it was fun. I mean, when I started, I was new here. I was just wanting to network and mm-hmm. work with other artists. And
did you moved out here with those other guys too? Or?
Yeah, it was just two of us, me and the MC.
Gotcha.
But then when I was producing, it was fun. I was like, all right, this will be fun to do something different that is totally not down.
So what year was this? When did you guys start doing this? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. We were making like, electropop. Like it was like my... my go at being a rapper over like some like pop, like electro pop beats. And it was live, super JJ fad, like Salt and Pepper ish. Yeah. And it was like live, like we were singing too. And, and so like we had a 5-song EP that Mike produced for us that like we were performing in Seattle and Portland. Like we were just doing it all over the place. It was like live. Also at the same time, like while me and Mike are kind of like mixing it up and talking about music we like and like, just kind of popping ideas across each other. We're like, you finding that we have a lot of stuff in common, like what mm-hmm. we like to hear, mm-hmm. what we're looking for. And so eventually one more time, I asked for that song, that Droid Love song. And he said, you know, okay, let's see what you come up with. I mean, you know, if it's good, okay, if it's good. If it's not, then, you know.
And yeah, so, like wielding power over her.
Yeah.
Do you feel bad about this?
No. The reason why I was doing that is because the guy in my group was trying to write to it. He'd made 2 valiant attempts at trying to write, but
nothing really stuck.
It didn't fit. It was like the track was good. His writing was good. It just wasn't a marriage. Mm-hmm. And after the second attempt, I knew it just wasn't, you know, I was really fond of the track. And so like my baby was that group at the time. And so I was so focused on it, like wanting it to be great. And I was like, all right, well, that just wasn't going to happen for him.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So I was like, all right, I was like, play around with it. I go, doesn't mean you can use it, but let's see. It was very like a disclaimer.
Yeah.
He's like, you know, go mess around with it. And then let's see what you did.
So she came back to work. It was a weekend pass. So
uh-huh.
She was recording through the microphone on a laptop onto GarageBand. That was how her input was. So that's the quality of the recording.
Yeah.
So
recorded the whole song over the weekend.
In the context of it. So
onto GarageBand.
So she comes back to work and plays it I listened to it on the speaker on the laptop, recorded in that. So it's the beat, and then she threw all the, it's the Android Love. It's on our first album. And all the layering and shit that she did. And I mean, the recording wasn't like great quality, but I could hear what she compositionally had put together.
Right, right. And you could see what she was going for.
The whole track that I was very fond of, I was like, holy shit, she made this like 10 times better. And just the whole thing, like, I was like, oh yeah, we're totally making this song. Yeah. Instantly, I was
and
like,
mind
yes.
you, he only listened to like 10 seconds of it.
That's all it took. Right,
right. I was like, at first I was like, he's like, yep. Stop. I was like,
No, I was just like, all right, let's hear it. And then I was like, oh yes, we're doing it. There was no question. I was like, this song is being made.
Right on. Right
and
on.
And so we feverishly like went laid it down and we're excited to, because it sounded completely original to me. I was like, this doesn't sound like anything else I've ever heard.
So when did you guys kind of formulate, after you get a couple songs under your belt, you start playing shows? When are the first shows that you guys are playing, and how many people are you guys playing to at that point?
We had 5 songs done. It was Android Love, Do What You Say, I think In the Woods, Lemonade, I believe. Was it Lemonade?
I think Lemonade.
Action Speaks.
Yeah, I think it was just those, that handful.
So back when the chapel used to be the chapel, now it's the Pine Box over on Capitol Hill.
Oh, it's not the chapel anymore?
No, now it's like a little bar place. Yeah.
Oh, dang. Okay.
A friend was DJing there, and so it was not set up for live performance. So like the DJ was up top, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So we ran some like daisy chained mic cables down the mirrored wall.
Uh-huh.
Into the front of that bar that was in the center of the chapel. Yeah. And so we sat there and did, we did 4 songs.
Like impromptu, just.
Well, we planned, we told people about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, we had Roxy.
There
we had Roxy.
That's what it was.
Yeah. And like our friends was like, you guys should come perform this. Like people was excited. And they're like, you should perform this like at our night. It was like the night was called Yes.
Nice.
And yeah, like we
were pumping our music out online as we made it.
Right,
Android Love hit like Facebook, and we're just like, and then SoundCloud. So our friends were becoming very aware of the new thing venture we were on.
But when did it kind of become? Because you guys have gotten a lot of good press lately here in town. I don't know what what the scope is of or what your reach is right now outside of Washington, but. I mean, it seems like you guys have got a pretty good following here in Seattle, at least.
Yeah, it's been we've been doing well.
Yeah, and so when did that kind of what brought that on?
Well, probably the shift when we were just sort of getting momentum back when we first released our debut album, our self-titled album, ourselves was the end of 2010, I believe.
Okay.
And then at the CD release party, we were performing with the singer Shaprice and our management, Devon, and Jen were there, Sport and Life Records.
Nice, yeah.
So
I met Devon up at Everett.
They were both
super
up there.
Cool dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they approached us shortly thereafter and just kind of wanted to start some conversation about where we were with our music.
Is that kind of like an exciting moment?
Yeah. I mean, she's reading a text or an email at work to me. And then she's like, well, Devon just hit me up and he just asked this. But it was just sort of like it wasn't so straightforward. It was just like very, if you guys wanted to talk sometime, and then just very general, then I was like, she read it. And then I go, wait a second.
Well, there was a sentence in there that was like, boom.
Yeah. Well,
boom.
And then I was like, wait, rewind.
So basically the day that the email came, we had just, it was like right after the show. And I was like, I've known Jen and Devon for a while, but not doing what we're doing right now.
Yeah.
Just kind of neighborhood.
No real business.
Yeah. And so it was like, I was like, dude, like after the show, Devon came over and like, we talked for a long time. And that was the first time I really talked to Devon like that. Like I had seen him at like the bar where we all used to kind of hang out for karaoke, like way back in the day. And this show that we played at was, Jen has a side company called Cafe Society. So it was like her and this girl, Sarah, they put this show on. Mm-hmm. So that's how they were there, you know, supporting each other. And I was like, yeah, like Devon talked to me for hella. And it was like a good conversation about where do you see yourself, like this and that, you know, how we work together, etc. And so at work, we're talking about it. I leave the room. I come back. I'm like, dude, I just got an email from Devon. And at the end of the email, Devon was like, so, you know, if you guys have any questions or if you guys are like looking for resources or a home, hit me up. And I was like, or a home. I was like, oh, crap. Oh! So like, it just kind of started off like we had a meeting with them and we're just, you know, kind of chewing the fat, like sitting and talking about stuff.
So they definitely, Sport and Life definitely like kind of boosted you guys up and really.
Yeah.
That's when ball started rolling.
Yeah, it was good timing for us to converge, with all the energy that we had been putting in.
Yeah.
And like, you know, with doing tons of shows and da-da-da-da. And then, so we linked up with them and it became like a whole campaign. And then re-released the album.
Oh, okay.
And so there was a whole publicity campaign associated with that.
Right, right.
Like nationally and with a lot of like connection with press here. So. Yeah. We all of a sudden popped up on the radar and then, you know, our music sort of did the rest of the work.
Nice. Nice. Yeah. Well, one thing before we have to get out of here, one last thing that I wanted to talk to you guys about, and we can keep this pretty short here cause we're running close on time here, but there's this concept of the Seattle bubble, right? That, you know, bands that are popular here in town don't necessarily do that great outside of town, right? Have you guys, and I want to get your take on this because I know that you guys do tour, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we play outside the city.
Yeah, right? Yeah. But have you guys been on like a national tour as of yet or
no.
Anything like that?
Nothing like that yet.
No.
We played in Michigan one time, but that was just, that was a random event.
So you gave him a look when I said that though. Like what?
Well, because
is this something you guys have talked about?
Sometimes we talk about, like, you know, people are like, oh, you guys are famous. Oh, you guys are famous. And I'm like, yeah, like, when we're not working full time, like, we'll be famous.
Right, right.
But there is such a layer of that in Seattle where it's like, because you're big in town, like, oh, like, I'm so big here. Like,
well,
you know, and then you go somewhere else and it's like, you got like three fans.
Instantly.
Like, you know,
deflated.
You're like, oh.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, to address, like, the. I think that's it is a real thing because Seattle's a whole like
it's a community
and it's there's support and it comes from it and it goes into it and it's great, but yes there I feel like I know so many people in bands and DJs and rappers and blah blah blah, and there is I feel like if they don't look beyond. It could just, I think with some people, yes, it is. There is a bubble. Some people there isn't. Yeah. I mean, they're successful here because they fit the perfect, like what Seattle wants. And it just falls right into it. And
right.
Everyone in the Northwest here supports that type of whatever it is.
And
it
I think it's and it's definitely like sustainable for,
totally.
For a certain amount of time. Definitely. But like, if you want to start doing stuff on the national scene, you got to start thinking about that, right?
Yeah.
Is that what you're getting at?
Exactly. Yeah. And some do translate well. And vice versa. Some that aren't, some artists that aren't necessarily just cracking here in the city are jumping on national tours that I see.
Oh yeah.
And
yeah,
like totally. On the East Coast, they're really, you know, I got friends in Michigan. They're like, you know, like talking about how this artist comes through. I'm like, yeah, he's, you know, it's not the same way here.
Right, right.
It's interesting. Seattle sometimes really takes for granted. Also,
goes
like
both ways.
Yeah, and also like legend people, like legendary type of people. Mm-hmm. Like, if it doesn't fit the whole like scene at the moment, people kind of take it for granted. But then the rest of the country would like kill to have those people come.
Oh
through.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
So
totally.
Yeah, I think.
Well,
it goes
I think
both ways,
you know,
so.
And I think the rest of the country would kill for a music scene like Seattle.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know? Okay. Well, hey, thank you guys so much for coming. This has been a lot of fun talking with you. And is there a timeline for the new album?
I would say look for it, hopefully, in the spring.
Spring?
Yeah.
Well, I would love to have you guys back on.
Yeah.
When that time comes. So I'm excited for you. And what's coming up? You guys got shows that you're doing here?
We have a show. Our next show is December 7th at Chop Suey.
Okay.
And that'll probably be our last show in the city for a good few months. Like,
all right.
Yeah.
Are you guys going on tour at all anytime soon?
Maybe.
We'll be playing shows outside the city.
Maybe.
Our focus is going to be more on the region. And then we're going to have select shows here inside the city. Cool. And we're working on videos and the music. And we have more.
Excellent.
Basically, when this new project drops, you know, people are going to have to sit on a towel and like, you know, really.
Because they're going to pee themselves?
They're gonna wet themselves. And you want time to prepare for that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you don't want to just pee on yourself like in front of your friends.
Well, and you want to have a nice towel.
Yeah.
I mean, you got
Egyptian cotton.
You kind of think about that.
It's gonna, like, you know. And I mean, I'm excited about this new project, so I'm like, yeah, we're gonna put like some good goodness out there, and so yeah, we're gonna take a little time and you know see what happens.
Well, excellent, guys. I can't wait for it. I'm excited about what you're doing right now. And, can't wait to hear the new stuff. So go and visit these guys on Facebook, Fly Moon Royalty. Just type it up there in the search bar, the handy search bar there. And you can find out all about upcoming shows and everything like that, right?
Yep.
Awesome. Okay, well, we're going to go out today with the song Push, which is one of the latest ones that you guys released back in October, correct?
Yep.
Push by Fly Moon Royalty. Thanks for listening, everybody. And tune in next week for an all-new episode of the Air Raid Podcast. All right, have a good week, everybody.
If it's my time to shine with this diamond in the rough, you know this new kid was hanging tough, but for only so long, cause he's only so strong. Man of emotion, I speak from the heart. I'm messing with this chick cause she's a freak from the start. She was in love with the D like Tigers fans. Then she turned her back on me like Tigers fans, leaving pains in my stomach like a kick to nuts. But I ain't messing with this girl cause she can sick my duck. Cause she's just a tourist, she's not the real deal. I need some soul food, she's just a happy meal. Up, I wasn't gonna start this, but how you gonna act some motherfucking heartless?
We push and we pull and we pull and we push and we pull and we play the same game. I'm just saying, I can't believe it. And every time I let you in, I end up here again. I'm just saying, I can't believe it.
Yeah, shit ain't going good like I thought it would. Not good enough, and I talk it good if I could. Girl, what's up? Times are getting harder, and things are getting farther out of hand. All my plans turn to sand as soon as I squeeze harder. For starters, a star was retarded. Together forever depended on whether or not we were parted. When I was in the darkness, your light consumed the darkest hardships in my heart's deepest compartment. You helped me see the spark was kindled when our hearts touched. It burnt so bright, I looked inside your eyes and I was starstruck. Love took me by surprise, blood sounded like a car struck 100 miles per hour by a large truck. It's hard, but sometimes we make it harder than it has to be. If love is war, then let's make peace before we are the casualty. It's hard, but sometimes we make it harder than it has to be. Not every romance has to end up as a tragedy.
We push and we pull.